Hello friends, welcome to this first session on this book on international finance. I am Vishnu Sippy, a senior faculty member. Mainly, I've done a lot of research on international trade, specialized especially on exports. In this trade for more than 45 years, when we want to look at international finance, I'm sorry, my dear friends, this book is not sufficient. It is such a vast subject. You go to any government finance ministry, they've got buildings full of research documents and documents and documents on various aspects of the economy, various aspects on foreign currency going haywire totally. We cannot compress the whole thing, but what I'm trying to give you over here is some of the basics, a generalized idea of what international finance is about in the first stage, and also how it is affecting our international trade in India, how it will affect you if you get into the international business.
And under this chapter, globalization, we will discuss the following topics. One, we understand what is globalization. Then globalization in India, what is the steps and effect in India. Then the international business prevalent at various places and countries. Then how business people have internationalized their business, internationalization of business. Then there's a movement known as anti-globalization movement. And of course, we will look at certain recent events which has happened, how they have affected globalization, how they have impacted globalization. Let us look into it now.
Globalization is the process of interaction and integration among people, companies, and governments worldwide. Here, trade barriers between different countries have been lifted gradually through GATT and WTO negotiations. Expansions of the global market liberalize the economic activities of the exchange of goods and funds. Removal of cross-border trade barrier has made formation of global markets more feasible. Slowly you will find how cross-border trade has become simplified as far as we are concerned. IMF, or International Monetary Fund, has identified four basic aspects of globalization. This is how, where we are more interested in: trade and transactions, capital and investment movements, migration and movement of people, and how this affects the international finance and dissemination of knowledge related to all aspects of financing. Here we have got environmental challenges. We have to look at environmental challenges such as global warming, cross-border water, air pollution, overfishing of the ocean. They are all linked with globalization. We just give you a small example. Cross-border water, what is it? You know, Nepal and India, we have got a common landlocked country border. During the heavy monsoons in the Himalayan regions in Nepal, the rivers over there get flooded. And then Nepal releases the water into rivers in UP, in India. It creates havoc to our agriculture over there. This is where cross-boundary water is affecting us as far as our agriculture is concerned. Let us look at another aspect also. We have a common boundary with Pakistan. At present, there is a little bit of a tug of war going on between Satluj Water Treaty, that is Indus River Water Treaty. Pakistan is accusing us that we are stopping the water from the Himalayan region in our country and not allowing it to flow into Pakistan. We say we are not stopping, but we are controlling the flow and we have every right to control the flow. And this is where boundary water is linked to globalization. Again, you go to fishing. You know, sometime back, Sri Lanka and our Tamils, was a big fight going on. It was because of fishing. Even today, China Ocean, lot of tug of war going on. Why? It is because of these fishing rights of the ocean. What are the forms of globalization? Globalization has got different forms. Academic literature has subdivided globalization into three major areas. One, economic globalization. Two, cultural globalization. And three, political globalization. And then there are certain scholars who also discuss less common dimensions of globalization, such as environmental globalization or military globalization. Let us look at each one of them slowly. Economic globalization is the process of the increasing economic interdependence of national economies across the world. Each country is interdependent on another country. Our economy is dependent on the world economy also, because we are doing a lot of international trading, import and exports. This is through rapid increase in cross-border movements of goods, service, technology and capital. It is also increasing of economic integration between countries, which is ultimately leading to the emergence of a global marketplace or a single world market. Look at you. You have got a mobile phone in your hand. You want any goods from the other end of the globe. You simply start netting and you get that product at your desk over here. Is that a fact or not? Yes, that is the result of a single world market. It also includes competition, technology, and corporations and industries. International standards which have been established have made trade in goods and services more efficient. They are more efficient. That is the reason why you and me, we get it so fast. Economic globalization has resulted in multinational corporations, MNCs, or worldwide enterprises. These organizations own or control productions of goods or services in one or more countries other than their own home countries. You see, so many foreign MNCs have landed into India. Why that? Even our own MNCs have gone to foreign countries. Our Tata Enterprise is one of the biggest MNC working in Europe. Look at Reliance. Reliance has become an MNC worldwide. Here, globalization says that free trade area. WTO says you should have free trade area. It encompasses a trade bloc whose member countries have signed a free trade agreement. Now, free trade agreement does not mean giving one's goods freely to other country. No, there are no restrictions for movement of goods and service from one country to another country if they are signatories of this free trade agreement. Such agreements involve cooperation between at least two countries to reduce trade barriers, that is, import quotas and tariffs, and to increase trade of goods and services with each other. Trade facilitation looks at how procedures and controls governing the movement of such goods across national boundaries can be improved. This helps to reduce the associated cost burdens and maximize efficiency, while at the same time safeguarding legitimate regulatory objectives of each national country. Globalization is a very positive force. Why? Because it lifts countries out of poverty by causing a virtuous economic cycle associated with faster economic growth. How do you measure economic globalization? Why? It focuses on variables. Free trade improves productive efficiency and offers better choices. You and me, we can see how we get more choices. World trade increases economic growth and raises the standard of living. Foreign direct investments. Yes, India is getting so much of foreign direct investment. Our own GDP, gross domestic product, has increased by leaps and bounds. Portfolio investment and incomes have increased, all due to economic globalization. Next, we have the cultural globalization. This transmits ideas, meanings, and values around the world in such a way as to extend and intensify social relations. It has created inter-country social relationship. And the process is marked by consumption of common cultures that have been diffused by the internet, popular culture, media, and international travel. International travel has become so vast today that people freely go around traveling and they meet and interact with different cultures. That is cultural globalization. This circulation of cultures enables individuals to partake in extended social relations that cross national and regional borders. You cross your borders, you cross your regional borders also. Look at your cross-cultural communication. How people from different cultural backgrounds communicate with each other in similar and different ways amongst themselves. Globalization has strongly influenced various cultures in sports. You know, modern Olympic Games, any modern Olympic Games that is taking place, you have athletes from more than 200 nations participating in a variety of competitions. Music. World music lead performers have discarded their traditional instruments and turned into a fusion of traditions, inter-traditional music. Look at your own music which you are following today. You are using your own harmonium also, but you are also using the trumpets of the other countries. Electronic musical instruments are giving you a fusion of traditions in music, religion. Earlier culture elements to globalize, spread by force, migration, evangelists, imperialists, and traders, they forcibly tried to convert people, forced conversion from one religion to the other. Christianity, Islam, Buddhism are amongst those religions which have taken root and influenced endemic cultures in places far from their origins. Our own Indian religion is in our neighborhood. It has expanded to a certain extent. When we look at political globalization, it refers to the growth of the worldwide political system. Today we see it in the form of UN or United Nations. The system includes national governments and their intergovernmental organizations. And citizens have gone for multiple citizenships, also called dual citizenship or multiple nationality, dual nationality. There, persons having citizenship status in more than one country under laws of different countries. Increasingly, non-governmental organizations influence public policy across national boundaries, including humanitarian and developmental efforts. NGOs from foreign countries, they have come to India. Look at Red Cross. They are working in virtually all countries of the world. That is a part of globalization. It deals with movement of people. As transport and technology improved, travel time and costs have decreased dramatically. Movement of tourists and business people has opened up over the last century. You have seen immigration being opened up. That is, movement of people into a country of which they are not natives or they do not have citizenships. People have migrated to those countries. Why? To settle or reside there as permanent residents or naturalized citizens, or to take up employment as migrant worker. We have got so many citizens from our country who have gone out as migrant worker. It's all part of movement of people, and temporarily as a foreign worker. International movement of labor is often seen as important to economic development. More and more students are seeking higher education in foreign countries. Here, both these are interlinked. Number one, labor working in India. If they go to another country, they go for having added advantage of getting higher remuneration. So that, apart from their local expenditure, they are able to send back some funds to their relatives in India in terms of foreign exchange. And this also helps the country, because foreign exchange comes over here, whereas the citizens get the same in Indian rupees. Students, they want to go for higher education. So many of doctors that you have seen, foreign returned doctors, foreign returned engineers. Even today, some of the students are going regularly to foreign countries for education. Many students now consider overseas study as a stepping stone to permanent residency within that country. And this has also resulted in transnational marriage. This is a byproduct of movement and migration of people. Marriage between two different countries. The spouses of two different countries, they marry very freely today. Movement of information, this is a very big movement. Globalization tends to bring people into contact with foreign people and their cultures. It is spread by internet, www, etc. Every day, you and me, we are going to Google, searching the internet. We get information day in and day out. It is instrumental in connecting people across the global boundaries. And then you also have global journalism, which provides massive information. You get foreign newspapers, you get foreign data over here through Google network or through internet. This makes it into an everyday routine to investigate people and their actions, practices, problems, life conditions, etc. People in different parts of the world rely on the internet to interact with each other and are interrelated with each other. Democratic movement. Democratic globalization is a movement towards an institutional system of global democracy that would give world citizens a say in political organizations. This may be achieved by creating institutions such as a directly elected United Nations Parliamentary Assembly. Today, no, you don't have this. You have a United Nations, but they are not directly directly elected by the parliamentary assemblies of the different countries. So there has got to be elected representative of each country who can exercise supervision over unelected international bodies. This is where we are still lacking. We do not have a democratic movement which we can say is truly globalized. Global civic movement has become a very necessity. This concept defines it as a notion that we have certain rights and responsibility towards each other by the mere fact of being human on earth, not citizens of a country only. By merely being a human on earth, we have got it. We have got a responsibility towards each other. This has led to cosmopolitanism, the proposal that all human ethnic groups belong to a single community based on a shared morality. Of course, this is very, very, very difficult. Military cooperation, you find NATO group is a very strong group where Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty is amongst those respective countries and they give each other military cooperation. Of course, all countries of the world have not got into military cooperation. There is still tug of war going on. You see the recent situation between India and China. Environmental cooperation. We have to reduce CFC emissions as specified in the Montreal Protocol in order to stop ozone depleting. Ozone depletion means your oxygen is depleted. More carbon dioxide is in the air than normally required by human beings. Less oxygen is available. Most recent debate around nuclear energy and non-alternative coal burning power plants is going on towards environmental cooperation. Look at economic cooperation. Progress made in the past decade are now backtracking. Past decade we saw a lot of forward-looking progress, but now they have started backtracking. Backtracking of globalization has coined a new term today, that is globalization. There is a slower pattern of globalization. Maybe because we have reached a plateau on globalization. Thank you.